friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Nigeria powered its way to 6 medals Tuesday in Paralympic powerlifting at the Commonwealth Games in Australia. The Nigerian powerlifters won 4 gold medals and 2 silver medals in this sport, which is for athletes with disabilities. And here are a few details about the sport for our Voice of America listeners. The aim of para powerlifting is to lift the heaviest weight possible. Competitors lie on a 2.1-meter bench, lower the bar to their chest, and press it to arm's length using all the power they can muster. Each power lifter has 3 attempts to achieve their best results. And let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to all the Nigerian powerlifting medal winners on Tuesday for achieving the best results. In the men's heavyweight class, Abdulaziz Ibrahim won gold with a lift of 191 kilograms. In the men's lightweight category, Roland Ezeruike lifted even more weight, 224.3 kilograms, and won the gold for Nigeria. In the women's heavyweight class, Ndidi Nwosu won the gold with a lift of 110.4 kilograms. And Esther Oyema lifted even more weight in the lightweight category, 141.6 kilograms. In addition, Lucy Ejike won a silver medal for Nigeria in the lightweight division, and Paul Kehinde won a silver medal in the men's lightweight class. Tuesday was truly a great day for Nigeria in Commonwealth Games para powerlifting. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to South Africa's Caster Semenya. She's a 2-time Olympic champion in the women's 800 meters race. And on Tuesday, Semenya won the gold at 1500 meters in a Commonwealth Games record of 4 minutes, 0.71 seconds. It was South Africa's 9th gold medal at Gold Coast 2018, tops among all African nations. Overall, South Africa has won a total of 21 medals in Australia, 9 gold, 6 silver, and 6 bronze. Kenya has won 2 silver and 2 bronze medals so far at the Commonwealth Games. One of the silver medals was won on Tuesday by Beatrice Chepkoech in the women's 1500 meters race. In the men's 400 meters final on Tuesday, Botswana won its first 2 medals, with Isaac Makwala and Babaloki Tebe winning gold and silver, respectively. Makwala had a gold medal winning time of 44.35 seconds. Our VOA listeners will remember the 31-year-old Makwala was controversially barred from competing in the 400 meters final at last year's World Championships in London because of illness fears. So I imagine Isaac's Commonwealth Games gold medal was some consolation after that disappointment in the British capital. Before Gold Coast 2018, Makwala told Commonwealth Games organizers he was confident of winning the gold.
Yeah, I'm in good shape. I started the season well so far. You know, I'm a world lead. I ran only the 1400 this year, so I think my shape is okay. I don't care about who is there, who is not there, so I just believe in myself. I know if I'm ready, there's no one who can beat me, so I'm ready.
That's Commonwealth Games 400 meters champion Isaac Makwala of Botswana. Host Australia continues to dominate the medals table at Gold Coast 2018. After Tuesday's action, the Aussies had a total of 130 medals, 50 gold, 38 silver, and 42 bronze. England was next with 74 medals, 24 gold, 29 silver, and 21 bronze. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In European club football, Liverpool and Barcelona are both in good position to advance to the semifinals this Tuesday evening in the UEFA Champions League tournament. In Italy, Barcelona holds a 4-1 first leg advantage over host Roma. And in England, Liverpool holds a 3-0 first leg advantage over host Manchester City. At the pre-match news conference, Man City's Spanish manager Pep Guardiola talked about what his club will need to do to overturn the deficit and go through to the semifinals.
Of course, to go through, you have to make almost a perfect game. So create a lot of chances, be clinical. When you create the chances, concede few chances, and the chances we're going to receive, you know, defend well and our keeper save it, all the conditions. So you have to make the almost perfect game to go through because the result is tough. It's 3-0, but you have 90 minutes. And football, and all the sports, basketball, and all the sports, everything can happen. So only we can do, and always we are going to do, is try it. Of course, we don't have to think about how many goals you have to score. You have to score the first one, and have to try to make the second one. And we'll see if the momentum, the good momentum that's happened in the Champions League, try to do it longer as possible, and we're going to see.
Meanwhile, Pep Guardiola's coaching counterpart for Liverpool, the German tactician Jurgen Klopp, responded to reporters saying his club is the favorite this evening to advance.
First of all, I'm not interested in these kind of labels, favorite and underdog. I thought it's common sense to say if you play in the Champions League stage against the winner of the Premier League, that you are not the favorite. That was what we were last week. And for me, the whole game is about these two legs. So it's not. I'm not interested what changed. You have to go, if how it always is in football, you have to go and lead in a lead and you want to score goals. And at the end, when the final whistle, doing the final whistle, then you want to have won the game. And it didn't change since then. We are only in the lead. No problem with that. It's better than I could have expected. But we all know, and I think you all know, that there is still a lot of work to do. And that's why we are here and not thinking about who is now favorite or whatever. It's all about going the next round.
Jurgen Klopp's Egyptian star Mohamed Salah did not play over the weekend against Everton because of a suspected groin injury. However, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year trained on Monday with his Liverpool teammates. Klopp was asked about Salah's fitness and whether he'll play this evening.
Not sure, 100%. He was yesterday with an athletic coach in training, and now I'm here. At 5 o'clock we train at Melbourne, and then we see if he's if he can be part of the training. I would say rather yes than no. But we have to see. Then we have to wait for the reaction, and then we'll make a decision. That's it.
I'm sure Jurgen Klopp would love to have a healthy Mo Salah in his Liverpool lineup this evening in Manchester, England. Salah leads the English Premier League with 29 goals this season, and Mighty Mo has scored 38 goals in all competitions since joining the Reds of Liverpool from Roma in June 2017. And I'm sure the Pharaohs of Egypt want a healthy, mighty Mo Salah in their lineup at the World Cup, which kicks off in 65 days in Russia. And with 65 days until football's premier event, here's another fun World Cup fact for our Voice of America listeners. 65 is also the number of Japanese players who have played at the World Cup over the years. Several of them have excelled on their sport's biggest stage, not least midfielder Hidetoshi Nakata, who appeared in three World Cups, France 98, Japan-South Korea 2002, and Germany 2006. As I reported during Monday's show, the Japanese will be going to Russia 2018 with a new head coach, Akira Nishino, who replaced the Bosnian Vahid Halihadzic. Japan is grouped with Poland, Senegal, and Colombia for the first round of the World Cup in Russia. The Japanese will be making their sixth World Cup appearance. Their best results have been reaching the round of 16 in 2002 when they co-hosted the tournament and reaching the round of 16 again at South Africa 2010. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more World Cup news, World Cup-bound Morocco is appealing to the Court of Arbitration for Sport over a FIFA ruling barring striker Mounir El Haddadi from switching national allegiances. The 22-year-old Mounir was born in Madrid, and he played as a substitute for Spain in a 2014 European Championship qualifier. But Mounir also qualifies to play for the Atlas Lions of Morocco, as his parents are Moroccan. Under current FIFA regulations, though, that appearance for Spain prevents Mounir from making a nationality switch. Last month, FIFA rejected an initial application from Mounir and Morocco's Football Federation. The Court of Arbitration for Sport says it's been asked to make a decision by mid-May so Mounir's nationality can be decided before the World Cup kicks off. Mounir is currently based in Spain with the club Deportivo Alaves on loan from Barcelona. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. A top American sports magazine recently published a special edition to honor some of the world's greatest athletes. Joining us once again with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Earlier this month, ESPN Magazine celebrated their 20th anniversary by honoring the 20 most dominant athletes of the past 20 years. And I'd like to highlight a few who made the list. Coming in at number 12, American tennis great Serena Williams. ESPN notes Serena has been in the hearts and minds of fans who followed her winding journey to the top. In September of 2017, Serena gave birth to a baby girl, and she was back on the court 2 months later for an exhibition match in Abu Dhabi. After the match, Serena described what it was like to slowly get her rhythm back.
But as the match moved on, I was less afraid. You know, I was like, I'm not going to fall over and break. I am going to be okay. And the more I played, the more confident I felt. And the more I was able to actually go for shots that I was afraid to go for in the first set. So I think that was really good. And I feel like this was a wonderful opportunity for me to kind of test to see where I am, not only physically, but mentally. It's like mentally, like you have to get over that hump of like, go for the shot, you're going to be okay, you know, because it's a lot that goes on through a female's body after you have a baby. So I think it was perfect.
Serena says she has no plans to put down her racket anytime soon. At number 10, Jamaican star Usain Bolt, 8-time Olympic gold medalist and world record holder in the 100 and 200 meters. And we're just talking track and field. But as you know, you have to be quick to keep up with Usain Bolt. He's already got his sights set on football.
For me, it's all about playing at a top level. My dream is to play for Manchester United because it's my favorite club. But for me, my biggest goal is to work to play in one of the biggest, any top league in any country. So if I can play in the Bundesliga, La Liga, or the Premier League, it would be great.
Well, Usain is sort of getting his wish. In June, he'll be playing in Manchester, England, in the Soccer Aid charity match, leading World 11 against England 11. Getting close, Usain, getting close. We're in the top five now, and the number five slot goes to 20-time Grand Slam tennis champion Roger Federer. And did I mention at 37, the Swiss star became the oldest world number one in men's tennis earlier this year? He recently fell to number two behind Spanish star Rafael Nadal, who currently holds the number one spot. Last March, Roger Federer spoke about his love for the sport after winning the semifinal match at the BNP Paribas Open in California.
A lot of confidence. Took me a while to break my own record, but I'm happy I did it at almost 37 years old. So it's been great. Look, I can't believe it that things are going as well as they're doing. I'm enjoying myself. Crowds are amazing every time I show up on court. I really appreciate that. I don't take that for granted at all. And another chance for a finals, another title, that would be amazing, but I don't expect it. I'm just happy I'm injury free, that I'm playing as well as I am, and today winning the matches through fight and grit, it's a great feeling.
And let's not forget, earlier this year, Federer received two prestigious Laureus Awards, World Sportsman of the Year and Comeback of the Year. And at number one, trumpets please, American golf legend Tiger Woods, winner of 14 major championships, claims the top spot as the most dominant athlete of the past 20 years. Tiger was sidelined from the sport for several years because of back problems, but he made a return in 2017, and it was clear he hadn't lost his competitive edge.
I miss trying to beat these guys. I really do. You know, these guys are, we're a fraternity out here. We see each other all year, and some of us have seen each other for decades out here. And it's just fun to be competitive and fun to go out there and to compete at the highest level and against the best.
On Monday's show, I mentioned that Tiger came up short in last weekend's Masters tournament, but many in the golf world predict it won't be long before Tiger dominates the sport once again. ESPN says the athletes were ranked using a fairly comprehensive five-step process that averaged out the performance, scores, and overall ratings of the athletes over the past 20 years. Pretty good lineup. What do you think, Sonny?
That's definitely a pretty good lineup, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Gwen mentioned American tennis great Serena Williams in her report on ESPN the magazine's special 20th anniversary edition. Well, Serena is a good candidate to play in a battle of the sexes match against a male player. So says tennis pioneer Donald Dell.
Well, I think lots of people are talking right now about a match, you know, a similar type match. But it really comes down to the right people. And certainly Serena would be an awfully good one to play. I think what people have forgotten is that Serena's great strength is her big serve. I mean, she serves, you know, 130, 135 miles an hour with her first serve. So she's going to have a real weapon. And if there is a match coming up, it's going to really depend on who they pick the player. And, you know, you're not going to pick some guy on the ATP men's tour who's 30 years old. But if you pick someone like John McEnroe, who's in his late 50s, and he was a very good player, but he's slower now, and his left-handed serve, which was very good before, is slower. And so I'm not as optimistic as John is. I think Serena will hold her own against any kind of veteran player. I'm just picking a number, let's say over 50. You don't want her playing someone 30 because the man player is going to be so more powerful as far as serving and volleying, but I think Serena can hold her own because of her serviceability.
In terms of prize money, at least at the Grand Slam tournaments, the male and female players now receive equal prize money. Do you credit Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs with kind of sort of setting the foundation stone for that?
Not necessarily. I credit Billie Jean for it. Billie Jean, no question, lobbied very hard and got the U.S. Open to first do that. And the other slams, you know, followed suit, but over a period of time. I mean, Wimbledon only decided to do it about 3 years ago, whereas the U.S. Open did it very, you know, 20 years ago. I mean, and that was no question that was Billie Jean who was leading the charge to get equal prize money at the U.S. Open. And once that occurred, as I say, the U.S. Open, the USTA, was by far and away the earliest one to do that by some 10 or 15 years. And then it was followed really by the Australian came on. The French were still slow. And then they followed finally about 7 or 8 or 10 years ago. I don't know the exact date. And Wimbledon was the last to follow suit. But she was instrumental as a leader of that cause, I think, much more than just the individual match of Battle of the Sexes. I think Billie Jean's personality and respect and perseverance had a major, major role because, as you see, subsequently to that, they named the tennis stadium the Billie Jean King Tennis Center out at the USTA and the U.S. Open. So it tells you that the USTA had great respect for her.
Donald Dell, thank you for talking with us on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Well, it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
That 79-year-old tennis pioneer, Donald Dell, and he was talking with me here in Washington. Dell is a former U.S. Davis Cup captain, one of the first professional sports agents, co-founder of the City Open Tennis Tournament here in Washington in 1969, and 3 years after that, in 1972, Donald Dell was instrumental in the creation of the Association of Tennis Professionals, the current men's professional tour in 1972. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs both clinched playoff berths with victories on Monday night. Let's begin with San Antonio. Just to show you how successful this club has been over the years, this marks the 21st consecutive season that the five-time NBA champion San Antonio Spurs have qualified for the postseason. They defeated the visiting Sacramento Kings on Monday night, 98-85. Rudy Gay scored 18 points. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for that bald-headed Argentine, Manu Ginobili, 40 years old, still delivering for the San Antonio Spurs. Manu had 17 points. As the Spurs rallied late, they're going to be in the NBA playoffs once again. And down in Florida, the Oklahoma City Thunder clinched a playoff berth with a 115-93 victory over the host Miami Heat. Paul George scored 27 points for the Thunder. And Russell Westbrook got his 25th triple-double of the season, as the Thunder won 115-93. Westbrook, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, tallied these numbers: 23 points, 18 rebounds, 13 assists. That's what's called a triple-double in the NBA. And that wraps up the April 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Linus Rimkus. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
At this year's Women of Courage Awards, the U.S. Department of State recognized 10 extraordinary women who courageously fight for their beliefs. The first honoree, Roya Sadat, is a writer, director, and film producer from Afghanistan. She uses the arts to raise awareness of the brutal challenges facing women and girls. And despite threats to herself, her cast, and her crew, she's served as a pioneer for women's rights and women artists in Afghanistan. Dr. Julissa Villanueva is from Honduras and is being honored for tackling pervasive violence against women, changing the face of criminal accountability through the use of scientific evidence, and facing down gang violence. Aliyah Khalaf Saleh is an Iraqi humanitarian volunteer working to resist sectarian and radical ideology. She is credited with rescuing 58 young Iraqi military cadets who were ambushed by ISIS back in 2014. Sister Maria Elena Berini works at a Catholic mission in the Central African Republic and is being honored for her service to counter hatred, injustice, and war-related horrors in the Central African Republic. A Kazakh lawyer and human rights defender, Amen Umarova, is being honored for improving laws to address violence against women and children. Dr. Farida Rushiti from Kosovo is being honored for decades of advocacy on behalf of civilian victims of Kosovo's war. Lamaluma Said is a former slave from Mauritania. She is now a deputy member of parliament in Mauritania's National Assembly and is being honored for her relentless activism in the fight against slavery. As the founder and coordinator of a non-governmental organization dedicated to helping widows and orphans of the Rwandan genocide, Godoliva Mukasarasi is being honored for her role in bringing women's voices to the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. Sirikan Charoensiri is a lawyer and human rights defender in Thailand and is being honored for standing up for human rights. Aura Elena Farfan from Guatemala was recognized in absentia due to illness. She is being honored for enabling the prosecution of former military officers involved in extrajudicial killings. In recognizing these women, said First Lady Melania Trump, we stand for what is right. In telling their stories, we can teach young women and girls all over the world what it means to have courage and to be a hero.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lee Normandou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will discuss some basic steps you can take to help you stay in good health when traveling. Our guest is Dr. Ken Red Cross, internal medicine specialist and concierge doctor. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, the life and legacy of Winnie Madikizela Mandela, the giant of the anti-apartheid movement who died last Monday. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.